Jeremiah is an old and dear friend of mine. Let's talk about him on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, a program that isn't designed for nice Christians doing nice things for God and helping you to be nicer. This is Bible teaching for real living. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jeremiah. We are this week returning to something we left off for the series on God, pain, and suffering of the last few weeks. And I told you, and faithful to the promises that I make, I told you we would return to our Old Testament survey and the place where we left off, and that is the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, if you were listening yesterday, we took time to look at three great powers, well, two and a half, in the world, and it seemed like a rather pedantic kind of study in history. But I was doing that for a reason, because you got to look at the context where Jeremiah was a preacher and a prophet. We looked at Egypt, and we looked at Assyria, and then we looked at Babylonia. And we saw that throughout the book of the prophet Jeremiah, God's people want to depend on the military of another nation. And then I suggested at the end of the broadcast yesterday that that is our danger, too. Now, I'm suggesting for those in America and Canada and that we ought to just set aside any kind of military prowess that we have, turn our backs on the military and say, we're going to depend on God? No, I'm not suggesting that. But there is a great danger, I think, to depend on military might, to look at that for protection instead of looking to God. And I suggested that the message of Jeremiah was, look to God, remember God, glorify God. Don't look to military leaders, because God can wipe them out in a moment, and he did. My friend and mentor Fred Smith said, given the choice between spiritual and political power, the church will always choose political power. Isn't that true, man? Whenever the path between Washington and the church becomes well-worn, Jesus leaves the building. Well, enough about that. And since you were listening and are now familiar with the historical context of the prophet Jeremiah, as we go through this book, you'll understand a little bit better some of what Jeremiah was saying. Now, I want to give you some general considerations surrounding the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's ministry lasted about 52 years, from 627 B.C. to 575 B.C. He was the prophet who was allowed to see the flourishing and the flying and the dying of the southern kingdom of Judah. He was born in Anatroth, a part of the temple of priests. He died in 575 in Egypt. Now, the book of Jeremiah is interesting for a lot of reasons. First, the one we have is not the first book that Jeremiah wrote. If you'll look at the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, we'll get to that in time. But if you'll look at the 36th chapter of Jeremiah before you go to bed tonight, you'll read that he dictated to his secretary his prophecies, and King Zedekiah gets ticked off. That's like being mad at the weatherman because he predicts bad weather. And slowly cuts up Jeremiah's prophecies and throws them into the fire. That's not fun. Jeremiah was not really happy with that. I remember one time on a Saturday, I was just learning to use a computer, and nobody told me I had to save it as I went along. And I'd worked, I guess, about 12 hours on a sermon. It was one of the truly great sermons in the history of Christendom. And we had a power break for about 2 seconds. And the computer went beep, and it was gone. I mean, all those hours of work was gone. And I felt at that moment the way Jeremiah must have felt, although his was not on a computer, it was on a scroll, and the king burned it all up. However, I got that sermon back together before Sunday. And Jeremiah got his sermon back together, too, because you can't keep a good man down. And in chapter 36, beginning at the 32nd verse, we read that Jeremiah began to do it all over again. The second edition is the basis of what we now have as the book of Jeremiah. However, more has to be said than that. In Jeremiah 36:32, there are these words, "Then Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dedication, at the dictation of Jeremiah, all the words of the scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them." Now, when the Septuagint version of Jeremiah was finished, now, that was the Greek translation. It was done in Alexandria in the 3rd century. Whenever you see a footnote in your Bible and it says it has capital LXX, that's what it's referring to. It was shorter than the Hebrew version by some 2,500 words. And so the text that we're using is based on the longer Masoretic, our Hebrew version. I don't know why that's important. I just thought you ought to know. If anybody ever asks you and you win some money in a contest over it, send 10% of it to Key Life. Another interesting thing about this book is that it's not in chronological order. I spent over a year teaching this book when I was a pastor, and I want you to know it's the hardest book I ever tried to teach in my life. I could never know what was happening, when, and why. Nothing fit. There was no outline. It just didn't read like a story. And it was a fit. It drove me nuts. Now, I'm not going to do that with you. We're just going to lift up some of the important things in the book of Jeremiah. But let me give you the best I can do with an outline. Chapter 1 is the call of Jeremiah. And then chapters 2 through 45 are the prophecies of judgment on Judah. Prophecies 45 through 51, prophecies of foreign nations. Chapter 52 is an historical supplement. You say, that's not a very satisfying outline. I know. That's all you can do with it. I just want you to know that. You can almost read, you can start at the 30th chapter, and it's just as good as starting at the first chapter. Or you can start at the last chapter and read it backwards, and it makes just as much sense. Now, what I want to do during this kind of introductory time in Jeremiah, is that I want to look at some of the major themes in Jeremiah. Now, we're going to examine some diamonds in the book, or, as it were, I will be your tour director and point out some of the sites. Now, in order to see these themes, the major themes, I want to expand a sentence with some adjectives, and you'll see what I mean as we go along. Jeremiah, the first thing I want you to see, a messenger of judgment. Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah 1, 11 through 16. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of almond. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. And they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them for all their wickedness in forsaking me. They have burned incense to other gods and worship the works of their own hands." Now, I'm a preacher. That's not the message you want to deliver. I mean, you want to say something about joy and happiness and peace and grace and everything, but sometimes you got to speak truth, even if it's painful. When Jeremiah spoke, Judah was drenched in sin, and he was a man of God, and he was called by God to speak. Somebody said, never insult an alligator till you're on the other side of the river. Jeremiah needed to hear that, and he would have had a far more successful ministry. He could have built an empire, had a mega synagogue, of which he was the rabbi, maybe had a television ministry and a book contract. But Jeremiah was caught by God, who said, you gotta say what I tell you to say. And so he did. McShane used to say, a holy man is an awesome weapon in the hands of Almighty God. Let me give you a great quote from Martin Luther. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that very point. I'm a teacher of grace, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that God has given me the message to tell you that God's not angry at you because of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to your account. But sometimes we got to talk. Sometimes we got to say the hard thing. Sometimes we got to talk about God and his awesomeness and his power. Sometimes we got to talk about his law. Now, he's going to love you. He won't be angry if you belong to him. But you got to speak truth. And that's what Jeremiah did. And he was not altogether that successful. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible, at Reformed Seminary, where I teach in the chapel, or the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, or Lake Barkley, or Mission. We tape those, and every 7 or 8 weeks you get a tape absolutely free, and they keep coming as long as you want them. When I say they're free, I really mean that, and if you will let us know, we'll make you a part of the family. 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can call 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And if you could help us financially, and by the way, don't you dare not become a part of our family because you can't send anything. But you can't. If you can, we sure would appreciate it. Pray about it. Be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. And if you're having a problem with guilt, when you request it, it is my thank you for any contribution whatsoever. I'll send you, as my thank you, the gift Forgiven and Forgotten. Hey, I got to go. Be sure and give us a call, letters of the station, when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.